Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I offer a show and tell this morning. This is the image that was on the screen prior to the beginning of the worship service. This is a mosaic about today's scripture reading. This mosaic is at the National Shrine of St. John Paul II in Washington. And the mosaic was done by a Jesuit priest, Father Marco Rupnik. The photographer, a Dominican priest, all kinds of different Catholic religious orders represented here. The photographer, Father Lawrence Liu, recognizes in this mosaic, he says, the dehumanizing tragedy of Babel, the Tower of Babel, is depicted in this mosaic. The faces of the people are obliterated so that communion between them is lost. They become faceless. You see here, of course, the workers carrying bricks up the Tower of Babel to put them in place. We are going to read the story of the Tower of Babel this morning from Genesis chapter 11. This story, as we've been reading origin stories this past month, this story comes from kind of the end of the prehistory section, you could think of it, in Genesis. These are origin stories kind of before the narrative becomes a little bit more biographical and focuses in on the story of the family of Abraham and his descendants. And some of these prehistory stories, of course, they had the creation stories way back in the beginning. These stories kind of include some sort of why kind of stories. Why are things the way that they are? So why don't snakes have legs? And why is farming hard? And today you could look at this story as a story about why do people speak different languages? And the story, of course, will be that people built this giant tower back when they all had one language, and then God said, building giant towers is not a great idea, they should stop doing that, and the way I'll get them to stop doing that is by mixing up all of their different languages, and that's why we have such a hard time understanding each other. Now, when I talk about this as the prehistory part of the book of Genesis, that's not to say that the later stories tell history in the way that we understand history. We understand history as like this clear delineation of all of the facts of what happened. The stories in the Bible are not as concerned about precisely narrating the facts of what happened the way we would expect a journalist to. They are more interested in telling stories about who God is and who we are. Who is God and who are humans? That's what the whole Bible ultimately is about. And in our understanding of the Bible, particularly, it's telling the story of who is God and who are humans through the lens of God who became human in Jesus Christ. So when we read this story, this ancient story, this prehistory story, I want to ask not just, why don't we speak all the same language anymore? I want to ask, what does this story tell us about who God reveals God's self to be? And who do humans reveal themselves to be in this story as well? And particularly, I think a way in is to ask what leads these humans to put together such a prideful building project to begin with. So that'll be our question as we turn to Genesis chapter 11. Oh, I'm sorry, a prayer for illumination. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, William. We will indeed break bread together today as we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Now, we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month. But this particular first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of October, we always celebrate World Communion Sunday to recognize the unity of all Christians at this table. Even when we can't eat at a table together, there are Christians we don't share a table with because the Pope and I disagree about the mechanics of what goes on in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But, of course, we don't share a table physically together with each other this morning because of that deadly virus that continues to ravage the world around us. Which actually means that today is the perfect setting for World Communion Sunday. It's a perfect time to remember that your table and my table are united with each other, and are the tables in sanctuaries and homes everywhere are united with each other in the unity of Christ that is not the same as the unity that we can figure out how to have as humans together. We protect people this morning by keeping these tables to ourselves, by gathering in isolation from each other with bread and cup. But we also recognize that it is each other that we're protecting by gathering with bread and cup together in all of those places, because others matter to us. You matter to me, we matter to each other, and those who aren't gathered in this moment are still gathered with us in Christ's love. We believe that, and we try to enact that this morning. And we also give of our resources in order to share what fills our tables with others who don't have enough, because Christ calls us to love others no matter what. When we think about whom we are willing to welcome at our tables, that says something about us. It says something about who we are. When we talk about who is welcome at our communion table, we talk about baptism, because we practice openness, and openness where the only thing that we need in order to gather together in spirit at this table is the grace poured out on us in baptism. In everyday life, when we think about who is welcome at our table, when we think about who our family and our close community are, we know that we gather at tables with maybe people that are having a conversation that we think we will enjoy, people that we trust, people that we know we have relationships with and obligations to. It's not practical, of course, to have everyone literally at a table together. And so we have to choose, because logistics mean that only so many people can fit around a given table at a given time. But the way that we choose, when we choose, whom to share with, well, that reflects something about who we are, about how we understand ourselves. It may reflect our understanding of ourselves in ways that we don't even notice until it's happened. And that's why we practice sharing with each other at a table every month. That's why we practice sharing at a table with the whole world every year, so that we can learn what it feels like to belong to each other, so we can learn what it feels like to welcome each other as Christ welcomes us. Our scripture reading asks those same questions about who is welcome, about who are we willing to belong to. Our scripture reading, as I said, is on one hand, maybe about why people speak different languages, but I don't think that's the ultimate thing that our scripture reading is about. I think our scripture reading is really about the question of how we deal with a world that is bigger than we are. How do we, humans, deal with a world that is bigger than we are? So remember the story, humans, after that great big flood that we read about last week, humans were sent back out to reproduce and fill the earth. And some of those humans, as they traveled around filling the earth, they came to this fertile river plain. And they said, "This is a good place, but this world around us is big and empty." And they worried. They worried that in a world that was bigger than them, that they would be scattered to the ends of the earth. And so, just like God had done in the Garden of Eden, the humans sat down and they scooped up the earth. They scooped up the clay of the earth and they molded it. But instead of breathing the breath of life into it as God had done in Eden, the humans, they stuck it in the fire and they baked it to death. They glued these bricks together to make a protective tower around themselves, and they huddled inside that tower. Humans didn't build that tower in order to feel better about themselves. They certainly didn't build that tower because they already felt good about themselves. They built that tower. The story says it. They built the tower because they were afraid of losing themselves. They were so afraid of losing themselves in this world that was bigger than they were that they convinced each other to build bricks. Now, I don't know if you've ever built bricks, but my understanding is people don't build bricks just because it's a fun and enjoyable thing to do. People build bricks because they have some other outside reason to build those bricks. I think in this case, they had the reason of fear, perhaps fear of that world outside them, perhaps even fear of each other as they worked to build those bricks. The Hebrews who told this story would remember another story as they were telling it. They would remember that later story of when they were enslaved in the land of Egypt and somebody else forced them to build bricks. Really, based on that same fear of being lost forever. So humans hid here in this story, in this tower, out of fear. A fear of being forgotten, a fear of being scattered to the ends of the earth, a fear of anyone not quite like them, and so they decided to hide and huddle together in this place where they, speaking that one language, were all the same. Which is the logic that sits underneath many of our kinds of sin. It's a logic that says that we have to defend ourselves from whoever they are out there, whatever those threats are out there, and so we justify our sin because we are frightened. We justify our sin because we are frightened of that world around us. And when I live by that logic, that I need to be frightened of the world around me, then I try to control others. I try to huddle in with myself rather than being open and making room for the world at my table. My table. That's part of that same logic, isn't it? No matter how powerful I may think I am, that logic of fear, that logic that leads to sin, that comes from not a sense that I am indeed powerful and safe, that I can depend on God even. It comes from a logic that knows that I am small and fragile, and a logic that's not able to trust God in the midst of that. But God comes down, no matter how tall this tower was, God had to come down even just to see it. You caught that, right? God comes down to see this tower and says, no, I want more than that. I want more than that for this humanity. I want more for humanity than enslavement to each other or enslavement to their own fears. I blessed them and sent them out to repopulate the earth. I blessed them and sent them out to be truly at home in this world, to find God in all of life. And so God comes down and mixes up human languages so that there will always be some difference between what I say and what you hear. So there will always be some distance between what you're thinking and what you thought someone else was thinking. God comes down and opens up this space in between us, a gap where we have to work to understand each other, where it takes work to relate to each other. Which is to say that I don't think those different languages that God introduces in this story, I don't think they are given to humanity here as a punishment so much as a correction. I think these different languages, this inability to fully, completely understand each other, it's given to us as a correction so that we move into a space where we can't simply control each other, where we can't simply assume that everyone around us is going to do what we thought they should do. I think it's given to us as a space where we have to and get to trust each other. And I think that's what we act out at this table where we gather for communion every month. Some churches gather every Sunday, and we take this particular Sunday each year to gather at a table, recognizing that we gather with Christians everywhere around the world and throughout time. We don't gather because we are all the same. We don't gather because we understand everything in exactly the same way. We gather because this table is where we learn how to love each other. This table is where we learn how to trust each other. This table is where we learn that we can be united without being the same. We're at this table not because we are all the same, but because Christ invites us into relationship with each other. Because Christ invites us to a table where everyone has what they need and enough to share, and we practice that here at this table. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
With thanks and praise today, we dedicate the Peace and Global Witness offering. This is one of the four nationwide special offerings that the Presbyterian Church USA collects each year. Like congregations of many denominations, we extend the peace of Christ to each other during the service. We say, the peace of Christ be with you, and the response, of course, and also with you. That peace is part of what our faith offers to us, and extending that peace to each other is how we practice that faith, how we bear witness to what it means for us as the church to be the household of God. And so on World Communion Sunday, what we celebrate is that Christ's peace extends not only to us, not only to Presbyterians, but throughout all creation. And we celebrate that we can all be together at the table in God's house, even when God's house is in so many places as it is today. And so we dedicate our peace and global witness offering, which promotes peacemaking ministries at the denominational level, in mid-councils, those synods and presbyteries that coordinate and combine to work God's mission in the world. And 25% of the peace and global witness offering stays right here at Covenant to build God's house in West Des Moines. We will support ministries here in our own community and ministries that we are directly connected with through this offering.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.